I enjoyed singing all those Christmas songs this morning. And there was something very fitting about, I heard an old story. Just glad we could sing that song this morning again. Because that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. I don't plan to necessarily have a Christmas sermon this morning. We won't be looking at Christ's birth, but more about the old story, about a Savior who came and provided salvation for us. And I would like to invite you to our key verse in 1 John 2, verse 8. Taken the title from this verse. 1 John 2, verse 8 says, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." And I would like to use that last two phrases for the sermon title this morning. The darkness is past and the true light now shineth. This verse speaks of two realities, darkness and light. What is this darkness that is being referred to here? It tells us that the darkness is past. We know that in a natural sense that darkness is the absence of light. But what kind of darkness is this? Is this a darkness that we can literally see as in a dark room? Is it something that we can feel? What is it actually referring to? I believe this darkness, the darkness in this verse, is referring to evil, wickedness, a life of corruption, a life without God. Romans 1:21 shows us this, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations." And the Amplified says, "became futile and godless in their thinking. And their foolish heart was darkened." This darkness is the result of godlessness. Ephesians 4:17-19, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." So this darkness is something that is oppressive, just like natural darkness is. I personally am one who likes lots of light, and I probably don't do well at saving electricity or helping out the electric bill. There's something very oppressive about a room that doesn't have much light, and maybe you're different than me. But sin and wickedness brings oppression as well. A feeling of darkness, emptiness, despair, discouragement, a burden. So back to our key verse in 1 John 2:8, it says the darkness is past. And to get the context of this verse, we need to go back to the beginning of this chapter. And I would like to just read verses 1 to 3 of 1 John 2. It says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." So it's in the context of born-again Christians that he says, "the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." We would all agree that there is yet much darkness in our world today. Many will go through Christmas in darkness. Yes, there may be those who know that Christmas is when Jesus was born, but they know nothing of the true light of Jesus in their hearts that dispels all darkness, that guilt of sin, that oppression, that emptiness, that despair, discouragement. For us, I hope it's a reality this morning that the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. And I believe this darkness could also be referring to the Mosaic dispensation. There was a certain amount of darkness under that dispensation. And all the while, there were prophecies that pointed forward to a time when a light would come that would shine out of darkness. Turn with me to Romans 8. These are beautiful verses, and we could read and read here in Romans. But I think we'll just read the first four verses of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. These verses point out that the law was powerless to save. That's why there was a certain amount of darkness that went along with living under the law. It was weak. Hebrews 7:19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. This law could not complete anything. It was only the outline of a greater plan, a shadow of something glorious. It could not pardon sin and could not purify the heart. Genesis 1:4 says, and God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. In the beginning of time, God made a difference between light and darkness. And I think it's so beautiful to think about that. And all through the ages, there has been this reality of light and darkness. And there's such a vast difference between the two. God said that the light was good, and to keep it good, he divided the light from the darkness. And we have this concept in our minds today that light and darkness do not mix. They are opposites. They have been separated. We looked enough at darkness for now. I want to inspire us about this light that now shineth. It's a light that makes Christmas worth celebrating. It's a light that takes our minds beyond the manger scene. John 8:12 tells us who this light is. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Christ came to this earth to bring light. The whole world was lost in darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. We sing that song. Jesus is this light that now shineth. And I would like to point out a number of things about this light and what it does for us. Number one, this light brings sight and understanding. This light brings sight and understanding. If you were to look in the dictionary for a meaning of the word light, one of the meanings you would find is something that makes vision possible. Light makes it possible for us to see. Without light, we're hopelessly blind. We can't see our surroundings, we can't see our own circumstances or the situations we get ourselves into. We are blind to ourselves, we can't see our condition. If we cut ourselves, we can't see it. If it's dark, light makes all the difference. It makes it possible for us to see clearly, see things as they really are. The absence of light can actually cause blindness. Animals that live out their lives in the dark eventually will lose their eyesight. They become blind. Those who live in dungeons, prisons, or mines where they are denied sunlight eventually start losing their sight. Darkness will eventually blind a person. Before Christ came, the world was in a state of spiritual blindness. I'd like to take you back to Isaiah 59 and verses 1 to 10 to give us a little picture of the state of the Jews, the state of the people here. This was approximately in 712 BC. I would like to read verses 1 to 10. And just notice their evil condition at this point. Number one, or verse one, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood." Obviously, they were shedding blood. "And your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil." Shows what they were like. "And they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for the light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men." What a terrible picture of the blind state of the wicked. They can't see because they've chosen to live in sin, and they have become blind. They don't know where they're going. It's like darkness. Noonday is like night, it says here. They grope around for the wall, something that's stable. Nothing is stable for them anymore. Spiritual darkness brings blindness. And brothers and sisters, we have been there. I have been there. We know something about that spiritual darkness. But praise the Lord, the true light now shineth. And as we mentioned earlier, it's the only light. It's only in the light that we can see. Light enhances vision. It helps us to be able to see. In Isaiah 42, we have the mission of Christ spelled out. You may turn there with me, Isaiah 42 and verses 5 to 8. "Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Over to verse 16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. This is the prophecy of Christ the light coming. It says that he came to open blind eyes and to bring us out of darkness. He came and made a way for us. Verse 16 mentions how he will lead us and he will make crooked things straight. And you notice that in Isaiah 59, we read about them making, they have made them crooked paths. And Christ said he was going to come and make their paths straight, make crooked things straight. So here we have this picture of Christ going before us and leading us and lighting the way. And I believe this way that he's talking about is the way of truth. He came to enlighten our dark minds. In John 9:39, which is a New Testament verse, tells us that he came so that those who can't see may see. It's a direct fulfillment of prophecy. Through Christ coming to this earth, we know and understand we are created by God, by a God who loves us and wants a relationship with us. We now know and understand that our sin and rebellion has severed our relationship with God. We now know and understand that we can regain that relationship now and forever through Christ Jesus. The light has caused us to see and know right from wrong. 1 John 5:20 says, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." In knowing this light, we gain understanding and eyesight. We have been enlightened. We now know and understand the marvelous place prepared for those who strive to walk in his light and the terrible destiny of those who reject the true light. By Jesus being sent to this earth, by him willingly coming to this earth to provide a way, shows us, it enlightens us, that there is sin, there is darkness, and yet there is another way, a better way prepared for us. Number two, this light brings life. I mentioned that we can't see without light. Darkness would eventually cause us to go blind. But also, without the sunlight, there would be no life possible on earth. We can't live without light. We would eventually waste away and perish. As vital as sunlight for physical life, even so the light of the Son of God is vital for spiritual life. I want us to see anew this morning that without Christ, we would die. We would die. I want that to grip our hearts this morning. Physical darkness will kill a person, and so will the darkness of sin. And without Christ coming to this earth as the true light, we would perish in darkness. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Not one of us here this morning can claim that we are without sin. We all have sinned. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." This is what would have happened to us without the intervention of Christ. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Life. Isaiah 25 verse 8, speaking of the Messiah, Isaiah says, "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away all tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of the people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Spiritual life can be found in no other than in Christ. He hath swallowed up death and victory. It's just a beautiful picture of victory. It's gone. Swallowing death, so none of us need to die. Made it possible for us to have life. Just as he is the giver of all physical life, so he is the provider of spiritual life. He is life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Through him only can our spiritual life be quickened or restored. John 8:12, the last part of the verse, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This morning, none of us can claim to be a follower of Jesus, the light, and walk in darkness of sin. Those who follow Christ will have the very light of Christ shining from his life. It says, shall have the light of life, which tells me that there will be visible signs of Christ living within me. It will be a life that produces the fruits of righteousness because Christ is righteous. The true light now shineth. He has come and desires to give life to all who are dying in sin. Without him, life is a losing battle. We will waste away in our sin. What about in my life, in your life? Am I finding life in Christ, the one who came as a baby, gave his life for mankind, rose again, so that we can have life and have it more abundantly? Am I finding that life in Christ, or is there a deadness within? Is there an emptiness? Is there defeat? Let's not fool ourselves into thinking that there's anything that can replace this life in Christ. Without him, we will perish. He only is our life. This eternal life, this spiritual life in Christ, is only possible when we consider our next point. Number three, this light removes stains and purifies. Sunlight will remove stains from clothing. Sometimes my wife will take out Serena's messed up clothes and hang them directly in the sunlight, and it draws that stain out. It's called sun bleaching. But not only does sunlight remove stains, it actually purifies. In 1877, Downs and Blunt, two English scientists, discovered by chance that sunlight could kill bacteria. They noticed that sugar water placed on a windowsill turned cloudy in the shade, but stayed perfectly clear when in the sunlight. Upon microscopic examination of the two solutions, they realized that bacteria were growing in the shaded solution, but not in the one exposed to sunlight. It wasn't until 1892 that Marshall Ward demonstrated that it was primarily the ultraviolet portion of the spectrum that had the bactericidal action. Very fascinating to think about. The sun does wonders. It purifies the air, purifies the water, and surfaces of bacteria and germs. And this directly affects how much bacteria enters our bodies. Just as the light of the sun removes physical stains, so Jesus, the light of the world, can remove the stain of sin from our lives. So beautiful to think about. Isaiah 1:18 is a beautiful verse. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Beautiful description of Christ coming and removing those stains. But Christ not only removes the stain of sin, he also purifies us. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." What a tremendous blessing. And did we deserve it? No. The love of God is so great. God looked upon this earth and he saw wickedness. He saw sin. He saw darkness. And it moved his heart to provide a way for us to be perfected in his sight again. Are we washed in the blood? And what does that mean to us today, this Christmas day? Turn with me to 1 Peter 1. And verses 18 to 21. It says, "Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." This cleansing power did not come without price. It was not just a matter of handing some money over to pay for our sins. It was needful that that perfect blood was shed and Christ paid with his blood. In his humanity, this was a very difficult thing to do, very painful. But he loved us. And notice that word precious in there, but with the precious blood of Christ. It is precious to think that we can be cleansed, be clean. Number four, this light brings healing. Another wonderful benefit of sunlight is that it has healing capabilities. Studies have proven that sunlight plays an important role in treating things like tuberculosis, pneumonia, and other diseases that I'm not familiar with, other infections. And we all know that vitamin D comes from sunlight and is something we need, something very important. But we all know there is a balance. Too much sunlight is very harmful. But sunlight has healing capabilities, and the light of Jesus' love and compassion also brings healing to emotional wounds and afflictions of the heart and mind. In Luke 4:18, in Jesus' first message, he declared the prophecy of Isaiah 61:1, spoke of his mission. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," speaking of Jesus, "because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." There are many, many people today who are going from one counseling center to another, trying to help, trying to get help, when all they need is to come to the light. And allow Jesus to save them and heal them of their mental and heart diseases. Many counselors today, unfortunately, don't take you to the Bible for the answers. Only through Jesus can true deliverance be given. Many have been wounded by words and actions of others. Many feel rejected and dejected. Many have been broken by adverse situations. Many carry tremendous burdens because of poor decisions they have made in the past. Many face pains of broken families and poor relationships. For all these things and more, Jesus is the great healer. Psalm 147:3 says, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." And in Matthew 11:28-29, Jesus beckons, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Christ the light brings healing. I trust that we all have found comfort in his healing power. Things like rejection, things like being hurt by others, don't heal very easily. But through Christ, the light, we can find that healing. We can find that healing. We need to be a people of the Word. It has the answers for the things we face. When it's easy for us to find other answers, let's not forget the Word of God. Number 5, this light brings joy. When there are long periods without sunshine, people tend to get depressed. Studies have shown that in areas where there is a lot less sunshine, or even daylight, there is a lot more depression. And there's actually a term for it. It's an initial spell the word SAD, S-A-D, seasonal affective disorder. I know there are disorders for everything nowadays, and it often takes the blame for everything. And because of that, I'm very slow to accept calling something a disorder. We need to be careful with that. But speaking of the coming of Jesus, Isaiah 60, verse 20 says, The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Ended. Is there any reason that the Christian should not have joy? What is there that could darken if Christ is our everlasting light? Life only gets dark if we allow it to. Joy is something the Lord gives. It is a mark of someone who has been truly redeemed. One who experiences the light of Christ in his life. D.L. Moody said this about happiness and joy. "Happiness is caused by things that happen around me, and circumstances will mar it. But joy flows right on through trouble. Joy flows on through the dark. Joy flows in the night as well as in the day. Joy flows all through persecution and opposition. It is an unceasing fountain bubbling up in the heart, a secret spring the world can't see and doesn't know anything about. The Lord gives his people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience to him." There are so many reasons that the Christian should have joy. Joy comes from the knowledge that I am right with the Lord. It comes from knowing that he is my loving and loyal friend. It comes from the knowledge that my life each day has a purpose. It comes from the experience of Christ working through us to bless others. And it comes from fellowshipping with Him and bathing in His light each day. Psalm 16:11 says, the last part of the verse, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." In the presence of God. "At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Number 6, this light brings security. Many people are afraid of darkness, and probably more so the children. Children are afraid of darkness. I remember being afraid of the dark when I was a child. The place where we lived in Lebanon County, where grandpa's live now, I slept in the basement where there were no windows. And I remember the times when I thought for sure there was a bear in the closet. I was scared. It was dark. Darkness can make a person feel very vulnerable because he doesn't know what all is in the darkness. And especially if you're not familiar with where you are, you feel vulnerable. On the contrast, light brings a sense of security. Light dispels fear. Children like a nightlight in their rooms at night. There's something about being able to see a little light in the darkness that makes a world of difference. If Christ, the true light, is in our life, we don't need to fear anything. He offers the best protection. Nothing can unknowingly penetrate the hedge which He builds around His people. In Hebrews 13:5, we have a promise. The last part of the verse says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Never. Never. He is not going to let us on our own. Verse 6 says, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." We don't even need to fear the enemy of our souls. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." Tremendous promise. We know that Christ is the good shepherd, and a good shepherd guards his sheep well. Let's turn to John 10 for a few verses. John 10, verses 27 to 29. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." No one is able to pluck them out. In Romans 8, 38, 39, more familiar verses, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do we have that persuasion this morning? The only thing that can separate me from Christ, the light, is myself. It's myself. Christ has done and will do His part in protecting His own from spiritual darkness and sin. Lastly, number 7. This light brings hope. Light has been a symbol of hope for years. I had to think of the many times we drove to Georgia through the night. Those nights were long and very difficult. But I also remember how I would long for the dawning of the new day because I knew that once it was light outside, it would be a lot easier. Things would go a lot better. Light brings a sense of hope, a brighter outlook. Jesus is the embodiment of hope. Hope of salvation, hope of righteousness, hope of peace. But the greatest hope he gives is hope of eternal life. Many people fear death instead of viewing it with hope and anticipation. John 11:25-26, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Shall never die. John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Christ brought hope to a very dark world. The darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. I hope we all are experiencing the light of the Lord Jesus, and that the darkness is past. And if you're here this morning and have darkness in your life, the answer is Jesus. He came to light our darkness. Let's live faithfully for the one who came and did so much for us. Let's never fail to thank him for bringing light to our darkness. As we think about the true light that now shines, what is our responsibility to those yet in darkness? Is it precious enough to us that the darkness is past and the true light now shines in my life? Christ instructed Paul in Acts 26:16-18 to preach the gospel. You may turn there with me. I'd like to read these verses in closing. Acts 26:16-18. Is after Christ met Paul on the road to Damascus. He says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Let's faithfully tell others of this light. Let's kneel for prayer.